Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Raider Nation is never shy.
You ask, we answer.
It's time for the Raider Nation mailbag.
What's on your mind, fam?
Drop us an email at mail@silverandblacktoday.com.
That's mail@silverandblacktoday.com.
Now, it's your time to speak up.
All right, welcome back to Silver and Black Today Mailbox, one of our favorite times of the week. I'm always interested to hear from people, Mo. Heard from some people last, not for air, but I heard from several people and talking about, hey, I'm so happy with what's happening with the Raiders. And then I heard from people who said, oh, this sucks. We missed out on this. We missed out on that. And then I heard people that said, we're being too negative on the show. Then I heard people that said, we're being too easy on Mark Davis for not hiring the right people. So we love it, though. Look, I'm not passing judgment. I might agree with you or disagree with you, but I love that you guys talk to us. And so that's what this is all about.
Scott, I have a new stance.
Uh-oh. A new stance?
Yes. Not a new stance. I've always kind of done this, and I try to stick to this. Of course, I'm not always perfect, but I try to stick to this perspective. I'm not here to tell anyone what to think. Mm-hmm. I'll present the facts. I'll present the data. I'll present my opinions based in facts and data and research, and I'll let you make up your opinion about what I said.
Right. That's fair. And that's it, right? Like, because I always tell people too, because I'll get some folks, of course, that are snapper heads, and they just want to berate you for your opinion, which is it's their right to do that. I don't have to, it's my right not to have to pay attention to it. But I do think that you share an opinion and even back it up with data, and sometimes people still don't like it, and that's fine too. But I think you walk away. I always go into conversations, somebody who disagrees with me, if somebody says, oh, JJ McCarthy sucks. If they draft him, I'm out. Okay. So then why? Give me the reasons why. Well, he can't throw. That's not a reason. That's like an opinion that's based on what? So I, you know, when I'm wrong and we get challenged here on the show, because occasionally you and I will make a statement or say something and it's wrong factually or whatever. And that's cool. And I love that our audience points it out. But yes, I like your stance. I think it's like, look, I'm going to give you the opinion. Don't have to agree. Don't have to agree. And a lot of you don't agree a lot of the times, and that's cool, but that's what we love. This environment, the listeners, the viewers here on the show, we love it because we can disagree with one another and then carry on. Right. So that's good. We don't get upset. We don't get emotional. We just kind of move on.
You know what the fun thing is? And I know Stoic Raider is probably listening or watching this. Shout out to the Stoic Raider.
He's good.
Very man. Good. Very good follow on the X.
Yes.
Comes into my Bleach Report lives. Is very active in there. He's on the Spencer Rattler to Las Vegas bandwagon.
He is.
He's been trying to push that. And I think Chrissy Freud, who was just on with us, feeds into that. So Stoic, if you're listening, I'm sure you like that segment with Chrissy Freud pushing the Spencer Rattler to Raiders, Spencer to LV. Would be the hashtag, I guess. There's no ring to it, but a lot of people have said something about Rattler, the name, the snake. You know, it kind of fits with the Raiders.
Well, 6 degrees of separation, you know, the 6 degrees game. Yeah. So Spencer is a TV show. There was a TV show called Spencer for Hire. You might be too young to remember it.
Yeah, I probably am.
Spencer for Hire, the lead character in that, was an actor who played Dan Tana, which if you see my license plate back here, that's what this is a reference to, the old show from the 70s called Vegas. And so that's the Spencer relation to Vegas. I'm just throwing that out there because if I can get a cultural reference in, I will. But that's the thing, too. I will say, like, you know, there are lots of experts out there. And Chrissy, you know, focuses on quarterback. Chrissy was, again, her mentor was Mike Leach, the late, great Mike Leach. And if you didn't read her stuff or see her stuff on when he passed, you should go check it out. But Chrissy focuses on quarterbacks. And I think that's what you have to do as a fan. You don't have to take her word for it. I'm not saying that you just take it because she's got this great background, which she's an expert in it. But do your research. Find out what matters. There's so many free things out there, Mo. The QB school, of course, is a great one. I love watching him break down films. If you just go watch that stuff, you'll learn so much about quarterbacks so that as a fan, if you just want to know more, so you say, okay, by the time the draft comes around in April, what's the quarterback the Raiders should go get? Well, you know what? I watched film. I watched breakdown of all those guys. And based on all of those sources, I think this is the best guy. I just think it doesn't matter if you're talking about politics, sports, cooking. There's so much free information out there. So educate yourself as much as you want to, and then you can have a great discussion around it. I know we like to do that. So, all right. So we're going to get to the listeners' responses now. We got some written emails that we'll get to. Our good buddy Gary Harkin Reader, of course, is on there, and we'll talk about that. But we have some emails. We're going to start with our good friend Jacob in Fresno. And if you know anything about Jacob, by the way, some people texted me, messaged me, Mo. I want to give a shout out to a couple of listeners. Kobe Gellis, who I've had a great conversation back and forth with about all the Raider moves on DM on X.com, as well as Hayden Adolny down in Australia, who's been great. And our good friend Soren as well for giving us some feedback on the show. So thank you guys for that. But Jacob has some of the most entertaining calls. And I will tell you, I usually try not to listen to the calls before we do the show. But I know Jacob always has wild stuff. And I don't mean wild in a bad way. So I listened to this one, and this is an epic call because he does an impression that I think is really, really good. So here's Jacob from Fresno as our first call on the Raider Nation mailbag.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Egg today.
Scott Gellegal Branson and Minimitamo. It's Jacob from Fresno. Sorry, I have a sore throat this week. Listen up. You know, I hear all the time, though I've never seen one, I hear all the time about these unique free team trades, and I wanted to run a little possibility by you guys. Let me know how viable or how much potential this kind of thing would have. So, say draft day, the day before draft day, Adam Schefter comes on and he says, according to my sources, the Las Vegas Raiders have traded up with the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears in a three-team trade where the Chicago Bears move down to 13, the Commanders move up to number one, and the Raiders take number two. Chicago brings in the Raiders 13, the Raiders second, the Raiders fourth, and the Washington Commanders fourth. Do you think that's possible? Do you think that the Commanders with Cliff Kingsbury goes up and gets their guy, Caleb Williams? We all know that that's what they want. They get a guy like Kingsbury. And we go to number two, we get a guy like Jaden Daniels, and the Bears take our 13, and they take a slew of other picks. You think that's possible? I think AP really likes Jaden Daniels. He was in the locker room and everything for our last game. And, I mean, for his Heisman, you mentioned AP. I think there's a relationship there, and I think that there's a future. What do you guys think? Let me know. Raiders.
Jacob.
You know what? You know what I think is possible?
What's that?
Jacob impersonating Adam Schefter.
Dude.
Doing a report. I believe Dude. Jacob has it in him where he could pull that off on ESPN.
He was good. If he works a little more, like, it was really good, Jacob.
Yeah.
Your Schefter was really good, but I would work on it a little more because I know you can perfect it. I know you can't. Like, it is so close. I stopped the recording laughing the first time I heard it because it was so good. But what about his trade? So we'll forget the impression for now. We'll get back to that. But what about his trade scenario? Three-way trade. The Raiders give the Bears 13. The Commanders go to number one. The Raiders get number two. I see one big problem with this. I just don't think the Bears have a lot of needs. I think they also would like Marvin Harrison Jr. So I don't know that they would move that far down. But what do you think, Mo, of a three-teamer there?
I thought you was going to say what I was going to say. We can all dream, right? Because there are reports are the one big issue with that trade idea is I don't think the Bears are going to pass on a top three quarterback. I believe they're going to trade Justin Fields and grab one of those top three guys. So in order for that trade to be possible, the Bears will have to say we're good with Justin Fields or we're good with one of the second, third tier quarterbacks in this year's draft class. And I just don't see that happen.
Right. But I could see them, Mo and Jacob, I could see them moving down a spot. If Washington wants to trade the farm for Caleb Williams, they like Drake May or Jaden Daniels for that matter, dude, move down one spot. I still get the quarterback I want, and I'm getting a whole crap load of capital from you. Absolutely.
The problem, Scott, is there's nothing in it for the Raiders in that deal.
Nothing.
So I know that's a great idea for the Washington Commanders fans, but Raider fans are thinking, well, what about us? What do we get out of that?
You know what it is? It's what you said earlier in the show. I think if let's say that happens. So we're living in La La Land. We're having fun. Commanders move up to one. So Cliff gets his quarterback. Bears go two. They take Drake May, I think. Yep. And then the Raiders go from 13 to three and they get Jaden Daniels. That to me would be, if there was a bunch of trades at the top of that would be the most realistic scenario. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. And as you alluded to, that's what I pointed out early in the show is that what if the Patriots don't want Jaden Daniels? What if they're just not high on Jaden for whatever reason? He's too slim, this, that, and third. You know, every team has their reason for not ranking a quarterback high on their board. So the Raiders would have to hope that the Patriots don't like Jaden Daniels because that's their only hope of getting up and getting him or getting up into the top three period is if they're saying, well, we like Bo Nix more than
– Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, and we prefer Bo Nix or whoever, J.J. McCarthy.
And I think the Patriots are a wild card too, Mo, because Belichick's not there anymore. We can't go off the history of what they used to do. But I could see them also, I could see the Patriots, like I said, if the Bears take a quarterback, which I think is a 90% chance, I just do, and they trade Justin Fields, that could be a spot for Justin Fields. That could be a spot for Russell Wilson. They might go the veteran route as they build the team around him because they have so many needs, including offensive line. They have some good defensive pieces, but they're also aging there in some spots. So I could see them going the veteran route and saying, you know, we're just not ready to bring in a rookie quarterback unless they really love somebody, right? Unless they think like, oh gosh, this is the guy. Jaden Daniels is the guy for the next 15 years. Okay, great. Then you go get him. But I think that's more scenario. Jacob, dude, as always, thank you. And please continue. I think we might have Jacob live on the show as Adam Schefter. Full disclosure that he is the fake Adam Schefter.
He's the fake Adam Schefter.
But that was good, man.
Breaking news. That was really good. Breaking news, Jacob.
Breaking news. We'll have him do a breaking news about Mo Moten, Midtown Mo, signing a big deal for his variety shows, TV show. All right. We're going to get on to our next call. This is Mike from California. I do want to mention... Mike from California. We also had a call from Michael in the Bay Area. So, Michael, if you're listening, your call cut out after like it was like a cell dead thing. So you made a sentence and then it was just silence for like a minute and a half. So I would have loved to have your call on, Michael, in the Bay Area. So call back, leave another message, make sure you're in a good cell area. I lived in California. I know how that goes. All right. Here's Mike in California.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Mo. This is Mike from California, Bay Area native, longtime Raider fan. And I got a quick question. I just want to see what you guys' opinion on, you know, of all the hirings we could have or had, and of all the offensive minded coaches we could have had. Just your thoughts on Luke Getsky and just the overall process. I wanted to know what you think, because, you know, the whole time Mark Davis and, you know, was pressing on, you know, it was going to be a slow process and maybe take our time, find the right people. And even AP was saying we're going to hire somebody at least 24 points per game. And, you know, it's been one thing said, but something else actually has happened. So just want to know what you guys think about that and just the any comments you think as well. Thank you.
There you go. Mike in California, Bay Area native. And Mike, why are you so negative? No, I'm just kidding. That's not a negative call. He's asking real questions in a very respectful way. Mo, I'll let you respond to Mike on the coaching hires and then maybe the overall process.
So I took some notes of what Mike said. And the first thing that stood out to me, he talked about the hiring process. And I think some fans were thrown in for a loop when AP was hired after only, I believe, Leslie Frazier and Chris Richard were interviewed for the head coaching job. Mm-hmm. And we thought there was going to be a more extensive head coaching search. You know, it was two coaches who hadn't coached this past season in AP, basically. Now, Vic Tafer said that the Raiders were in contact with Jim Harbaugh's agent, but I get the feeling that Jim Harbaugh just wasn't really as interested in the Raiders job as he was the Chargers job. That's just my opinion, my feeling of it. But the head coaching search kind of surprised me because it tells me that the Raiders had made up their mind about AP before they went into the process. Because if they didn't, I would think they would have had more variety of candidates in to talk to about the position. But they didn't. They hired AP. You and I have both said if they hire AP, solid hire based on what he's done as an interim, right? The other thing I want to point out that Mike touched on was AP talking about wanting to score. Well, he joked about this, but scoring 24 points. at minimum at his introductory press conference. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned the vertical passing game. And this is my hang up about AP's philosophy and Luke Getsy. Yes, Luke Getsy has had offenses known for running the football with quarterback help. Let's not forget Justin Fields. It was accounted for a lot of those rushing yards that the Bears had. Not to say the running backs weren't, you know, part of the running game plan, but a lot of that was Justin Fields. Okay, AP likes to run the ball, but he made a point at his press conference that he just doesn't want to run the ball. He wants to go back to the Raider fabric, and that's the vertical passing game. Well, that Luke Getsy's not known for the vertical passing game. So that was my one question that I haven't wrote about or spoke about with the Luke Getsy hire. With AP wanting to go vertical, if you look at Luke Getsy's history, even as a passing game coordinator, wasn't an offense that went down the field in the vertical pass game a whole lot. Mm-hmm. If you look at his last two Chicago years, it's a lot of short passes. You know, it's a lot of yards after the catch. I wrote about this on Sports Night with my last piece, the pros and cons of hiring Luke Getsy. Mm-hmm. He used DJ Moore very well because DJ Moore is a running back with some speed. Got the ball into DJ Moore's hands in space, allowed him to rack up yards after the catch.
Yep.
But there wasn't a lot of vertical passing game. And I think there were times where DJ Moore wanted to go downfield a lot more, and that wasn't part of the Bears' passing game plan. So I'm wondering, is Luke Getsy going to build the pass off the run and start using the vertical passing game?
Right.
Or is it just something that AP said during the presser, and we're not going to get that out of Getsy's offense?
Correct. And I think, you know, listen, I don't have any doubt that Antonio Pierce can be successful if everything goes the way he wants it to and if they build their team and they get their quarterback. I will say this. I will say, you know, people were getting excited about, and again, from a fan perspective, I totally get it. We have not heard much from Antonio Pierce about, and I'm not saying he should, but we have not heard much about the football philosophy, how things are going to go, how they're going to build this team. We'll hear that in the months coming as we see how they start putting the roster together with Tom Telesco. So a lot of what we're hearing basically is bumper stickers, folks. It's bumper stickers. So when he talked about a vertical passing game, 24 points, joking, yes, the vertical passing game, what does that do? That gets fans excited. What I would tell you, though, is, again, vertical passing game is the past. It happens now, but it's mixed in. We just talked about quarterbacks for a whole segment, okay? So the dink and dunk, people use that as a negative. The reality is you will build your offense around the guy who's running it, which is Luke Getsy, and then you will get the quarterback you need to run that offense. Luke Getsy, too, to your point, not a lot of vertical stuff, but you don't need it to win. I'm not saying that he can't win as an offensive coordinator. Maybe the situation was rough for him, Mo. We've defended Justin Fields to say, hey, don't give up on the guy yet. Let's see what he does in a different situation. Now, Getsy was the guy running that offense, but nonetheless, we'll see what happens with Getsy there. Also, you talked about how he developed Cole Kmet, which is true, but if you look at the play distribution, they didn't do a lot of tight end stuff, right? Cole Kmet came along better, and so that concerns me a little bit with that. But I do think with Michael Mayer there that they will do that. I think that's something they're going to have to do. But so to your point about your doubts there, I agree 100%. Second, and we'll leave it at this, the process, I think, is to me the biggest problem I had. Not who they hired per se, because again, I'm going to repeat them all year round until next January when the Raiders are either in the playoffs or not, which is resume on the grass. So I will judge Antonio Pierce and all of these guys based on their record next year with no excuses, just what they do. So, but the process itself is what I hear from people, and I'm sure you do too, Mo, being based in New York, from national media who look and they say the Raiders raided, not because necessarily of their choices, but because the process. We're going to do this. No, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to hire a running backs coach before the offensive coordinator gets here. What if the offensive coordinator wants a running back coach that he had in Chicago or he had somewhere else? So that to me, to answer Mike's question, is a little bit weird. The process to me is where I've always had the problem, more so than just the people that they've hired.
Absolutely. And I look at it this way. If the Raiders go out there and score at minimum 24 points a game, no one's caring about the process. All you care about is that they made the right hires, right?
Right.
But I will tell you, if things go sideways, people are going to look back at the hiring process and say, see, they should have brought in a variety of candidates.
Just correct. You now. And I will say this. You can like people, you can like their style, you can like their personality, but if they don't perform, it's a meritocracy. So the fact that AP wears cool jackets, that he drives a cool car, that he's a cool guy, that he's a rah-rah guy, that he understands the Raider culture, that's all good. That's important. And I understand for fans, especially, vital. I love that. I love that people feel good about that. But if he doesn't perform on the field, I'm not saying he won't, but if he doesn't, to your point, Mo, it doesn't matter what kind of shoes he's walking. I don't care if he's walking around in Nike Air Force. It doesn't matter. What matters is winning. The Raider way is winning, not just all the other stuff. The other stuff is great. It goes with it, the swagger, all that jazz. But you know what? Come September, swagger doesn't mean crap. What means crap is wins and execution on the field. So we'll see. And they're going to have every opportunity to do it. And for your sake as fans, for our sakes as people who have to cover the Raiders 24/7, 12 months a year, I want them to do well too. I don't want them to do poorly. So we'll see how it all rolls out.
Scott, one thing I do want to say though.
Yeah.
Even with the swag that AP has, I want to make it clear that he, I think people overlook the fact that he knows football. He's not classified as an X's and O's guy, but he's clearly he has a smart football mind. He's played the game at a high level. He's won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He knows what it looks like. So that's why I say before we judge AP's hires and his coaching staff, please understand that he has a plan. We may disagree with parts of his plan or question, the process of it, but let's not overlook that AP, Antonio Pierce, knows football pretty well, even though he's not classified as an X's and O's guy, because he wouldn't have taken that Raider team from 3-5 to a 5-4 record on his watch 8-9 if he didn't know, some of the nuts and bolts of the game and understand offense and defense.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying it's not important, but the victory tour and the getting Raider Nation fired up, that's awesome. Like, we saw John Gruden do that when he came back too, not to the same level that Antonio Pierce has done. It's a different feel, but that's all great. And Raider Nation needed that, like as a fan base, I think they needed that. They needed the hope. They needed the positive vibes coming from that. But let me tell you, that's going to get you through the off season, but man, that draft comes and we'll see what they do. Now, that's Tom Telesco working with the coaching staff. But the rubber hits the road after the combine, okay? So feel good now, and hopefully he takes that energy and all of that knowledge, like you say, because he is a bright football mind, and he takes that and that transpires into a winning season. It's going to be a tough, tough, tough division, and it's going to be a tough conference with the AFC. Those teams, Baltimore, Houston, Buffalo, Miami, they're all going to get better. So it's a big task. Not saying he's not up to it. It's just going to be a tough task. So there's going to be lots of ups and there's going to be downs. No season ever goes perfectly, right? So we'll get used to that. But Mike, thank you so much for the call. All right, we're going to get to a call. Now I'm going to play this one, Mo. It's a little bit older. It's like a week old because our good friend MDM, who's always in the live chat, and I'll say aloha to him because he's in Hawaii, left it, but it got stuck in the spam. So I'm going to play it. So a little bit of it's outdated, but I think his overall feeling, I just want to make sure he gets heard because he is an active participant in the Silver and Black Today community. And I just want to get it. So this part about the GM piece here obviously is old news and not accurate because we were going off Cliff Kingsbury. But I want to give MDM the opportunity. So here's MDM.
Hey, aloha. MDM here. Just weighing in on the coaching and GM hires. And first off, I think you have to differentiate between fans that have been fans for decades since they were young and maybe recent fans. Because quite frankly, you know, I've seen this before. I'm not getting a great vibe on anything the Raiders are doing. It doesn't matter if it's draft or coaching hires. It always seems like we try to outsmart everybody. And at the end, we kind of end up outsmarting ourselves. Now, the clear move, you know, would have been to hire Harbaugh and try to get Dodds and then, you know, start building a foundation and of a team. And I know many of us, we don't want to see the team broken up. We like some of the players on the team. So we hired AP, you know, to appease the players. And you know what? God bless AP. I hope he does well. We're all rooting for him. I'm a Raider fan. I'm rooting for him. That said, doesn't mean I have to agree with the move. You know, you have a franchise that's, you know, one of the most known franchises in sports. We're playing in Vegas. We're becoming a big money team. Yet we just get a coach that's unproven. This coach, like, never really been a professional coach before as far as being a head coach. Maybe he coached at Pauley. We know he coached at ASU as a defensive coordinator. But, you know, just not getting great feelings. And then we get Telesco. We're talking about, hey, let's hire a general manager first. And then what do? We hire the coach first, then the general manager. It's like we can't get out of our own way. And I'm just telling you right now, everyone knows I called Stroud, trade up for Stroud last year. We didn't. Of course, we bungled that again with some stupid picks. But I'm just not getting good feeling about this. Mm. And then now with the Chargers doing things right, hiring, you know, probably hiring Harbaugh, who knows, maybe Dodds. We'll see how this all plays out. But a lot of Raider fans been screaming for AP and this and that, thinking they know everything. They're so smart. We'll see how this all plays out. But I'm just giving my two cents right now. I'm not getting a good feeling about how this is going to go. Thank you.
So there you go. MDM, good call. From the perspective of, again, like he's got some feelings there about the fan base and all that. I'm not going to tell people how to feel as a fan. And I don't think that you should dismiss MDM's opinion and how he feels. Because I hear a lot of fans, and I don't think they're being overly negative, because I don't think that was an overly negative call. He's just kind of going with, he's been a longtime fan, how he feels about it, Mo. And he talked about what we talked about with the last question, which is the process. And that's the only problem I've had, right? And like you said, he wants the coaching staff to do well because he's a Raiders fan. He doesn't want them to do poorly. But some interesting points there from MDM.
Now, while we thought AP would be a good option if the Raiders didn't hire Harbaugh, now to speak about the NDM's call, again, I want to make this clear. This is my opinion. I just don't think Harbaugh was that interested in the Raiders' job. And I made this point on the X. Would you go to a team that has their established starting quarterback in Justin Herbert, who was Offensive Rookie of the Year and threw for 5,000 yards in the season, and that team has the number 5 overall pick? Or would you go to a team that's picking 13th and doesn't have their starting quarterback or has a big question mark at the quarterback position? Just take your Raider glasses off for a minute and think of it as a candidate interviewing for a job. Which job is more attractive to you? And I think Harbaugh chose a more attractive job. So I don't think the Raiders had a great shot at getting Harbaugh over over the Chargers. I wanted to make that point. The other thing is, I understand what MDM says also about fans who've kind of seen this before, this situation before with the Raiders, and new fans coming along who may have not known about the Bugle situation. I think my guy over at Silver and Black Today does a great job of talking about some of the past Raider regimes. And he talked about, I believe it was Mark Bugle being a player's coach. And then he was promoted from offensive coordinator to head coach, and it didn't work out well. And he was out within a year. I'm not saying AP is going to be that.
No.
But I think Raider fans who have been around for a while remember that regime, remember that coaching staff, remember that promotion to go, we've seen this before. Inexperienced head coach coming in, people like him. Now, this is a bit different because Bugle was an offensive coordinator. AP isn't an offensive coach. Mm-hmm. He has a defensive background. But Raider fans have seen reiterations of this where you get the coach that everyone likes, it flops, and then now what? Now, of course, we're hoping for the best. As NDM said, he's hoping that AP succeeds. And I'm sure if you're a Raider fan, you're hoping that Antonio Pierce succeeds. But you've seen the Raiders make these out-of-the-box moves, and they haven't worked out in recent years. I just want to say that the track record isn't good. So I can understand why NDM and other Raider fans would be skeptical. What I will also say, though, is, and I said this in the earlier segment, the quarterback position is the missing piece to this puzzle.
No doubt. Based on
what the Raiders do at the quarterback position, it's going to have a dramatic effect on how good or how poorly they're going to look in the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, MDM, for your call. And we're running out of time here. I'm going to get one more email in. And if I didn't get to your calls, I apologize, but we will get to them. Keep leaving them, first of all. We certainly appreciate it. But this is from Gary Harkinreader. We haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, but I wanted to get to this. He said, I listened to AP again at his introduction. Two things stood out. One, he always seems to know how to respond, what to say. There's never any reference to Josh McDaniels. In his talk, he said he wants the Raiders to have ill intent. This made me think of Al Davis, who said, I'd rather be feared than respected. If Telesco and AP are on the same page, I don't think Mark Davis will inhibit Telesco from spending and investing money. No, you're busy. Thanks for reading. Take care, Scott and Mo. That's Gary. So I get what you're saying there. I think, yes. And that was my point. You'll never have an issue of understanding how Antonio Pierce feels. And I think right now at this stage, he's saying all the right things. I will say this, okay? And I don't want people to take this the wrong way. So get ready, Mo. Is nostalgia and history are important. I am a history buff. Okay. I devour history. I love it. I read history, just fall in love with it since I was a kid. But his references to the old Raider way, I think, are good as if it's establishing a culture from here out, which it seems like he did over the course of the 9 games he coached the team. But don't get caught up in all of that. It has to be also the Raider way as you know it and love it, but modified for the modern NFL game and what you can do, okay? You can't be Lester Hayes and hit people like you used to, as much as Lester was a great player to watch and fun and all that stuff. You can't do that anymore. So it's a different game. So the ill intent, all that's football. It's a violent game, of course. So I love it. He's building a language, a nomenclature around the culture, which is great. But now you got to take it forward. So think about that. And as Al Davis said, everybody likes to quote Al Davis. The future is what's bright about the Raiders. It's the future that they are building for. And so that's what you got to be focused on. Don't be focused on the past. Be focused on what they're going to do moving into the future. And I think people will be okay. And we'll see how the results net out.
Absolutely. And I just want to say quick correction of myself. Joe Bugle, who was the Raiders.
Did you call him Jim?
I said Mark because I had Mark Davis on the mind. Joe Bugle, who was the Raiders coach in 1997, and my guy Ray over at Silver Black Today makes a lot of good points of the connection between or the similarities between Bugle and AP. But to get to the last, to get to Harkinreader, look, as I said, if you're a Raider fan, you're looking at it as, and I get your point, Scott, about history and riling up the fans in the offseason. It's the offseason. No games are being played.
No.
Raider fans want to believe that AP is going to be successful. So you're going to hear all the great stuff. And he penned a piece at the Players Tribune and talked about basically going back to the Raider way. And he talked about, Bo Jackson running over Brian Bosworth in that game against the Seattle Seahawks and running into the tunnel. And he talks about all those fond and feel-good memories, and that's all great, and Raider fans can get behind that. I was a little young to remember that game, you know, but I will say that he's hitting all the right notes right now.
Correct.
But the biggest 100%. Note, the biggest note that he has to hit, and this is not all on him, we talked about it, the draft or free agency, whether the Raiders go for a veteran quarterback at free agency and or pick one up in the draft, that's the note that he has to hit.
Correct.
If he hits one out of the park in one of those, you know, free agency or the draft, then I think a lot more skeptical Raider fans like MDM who called in will get on board and say, okay, I like the decision that he made at quarterback. We have something, because there are a lot of Raider fans out there that feel the Raiders are a quarterback away from getting to the Super Bowl. I say the Raiders are a quarterback away from getting to the playoffs, because we've seen what a quarterback can do for a team that has some talent on the roster. Yeah. CJ Stroud in Houston is the prime example. So I think if the Raiders hit it out of the park with the quarterback position, you start to get more skeptical fans who look at AP and go, well, it sounds good now, but how is it going to look on the field? You'll get those fans on board to say, okay, I think AP can get it done.
Absolutely. Resume on the grass. I love it. I mean, he's getting the opportunity and they'll make the most out of it. But you're right. I think that the next few months, we get past the combine, we get to the draft, we'll see what the Raiders are going to do there. But thank you guys for all your contributions to the Raider Nation mailbag. If we didn't get to you, we'll get to you next week. Keep calling in 702-900-7869. That's 702-900-7869. It's down below in the description. If you're watching us on one of the channels there, you'll see the description there. Also, it's in the podcast description. So if you want to get in the call for next week, what I would do, actually, we're off next week. That's what I have to make a note, by the way. After Super Bowl, Mo's got to work a Super Bowl. He's the big shot lead article for Bleacher Report for the Super Bowl. He's going to be wiped. I'm going to be wiped. So we're going to take, unless there's breaking news, if something happens with the Raiders, that's a big deal, Mo and I will climb on and do an episode. But it's the maybe 1 out of 2-3 weeks a year where we're not going to do a show. That's it. Otherwise, we're doing shows. So we will be off next week. But make sure you check out Bleacher Report Live. Mo, do you have one coming up?
I don't have a Bleacher Report Live coming up like you and like us here. Unless there's big breaking news, I will be going live. Of course, as you said earlier in the show, pull up the app and you'll know as soon as I go live, it'll hit your app and it'll show up as a notification. But other than that, I will have Sports Not Pieces coming up every week still. Just won't be going live on Bleacher Report.
Yes, as will I. And you can check that all out on sportsnot.com. Also follow Mo, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. You can follow me, LV Gully. Those are both on x.com. We appreciate. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you get your audio. Also here on YouTube, hit the subscribe, hit the notifications bell, and hit that thumbs up. We appreciate you guys being here. Mo, have a good week off from the show and enjoy the Super Bowl, man. We're looking forward to reading your story afterwards.
Appreciate you, Scott. Of course, we'll be in contact. We won't be live here, but of course, you know, we'll be going back and forth about what we see in the Super Bowl in the big game.
We will. And we might even drop some videos. So if you don't follow us on TikTok or Instagram or on X.com, do so there. Silver and Black Today. And you'll get some content there. But guys, thank you so much for being with us. A shout out to our producers at Odyssey, including Mike Robier. And for Mo Moten, I'm Scott Gilbranson. This has been Silver and Black Today. We'll talk to you in about a week and a half. Take care, everybody.